Hello, this is Wilhelm, and this is the fifth episode of the Nordnordost podcast. And it's also the first episode of the North by Northeast podcast. Sometimes I find myself at a table where playing in Swedish really isn't an option, and this episode covers one such occasion. It was myself, Elin, David, and Rhea, who's from Alaska, and we played Jackson Tegu's game Silver and White. The game has a strong pedagogy of play component, and the players learn the game as they play it. So let's get started right away.
Hi, I'm Wilhelm. Today we are playing Silver and White by Jackson Tegu. And this game teaches us how to play it while we're playing it. So we will head right into it, and I will read some stuff aloud here. Stack each set of materials face down. There should be at least three different kinds of cards on these. Could you sort them out, please?
Yes.
Thinking cards, feeling cards, and timer. Oh, there's the timer.
Thinking.
It's on the...
Yeah.
Feeling, thinking. Yes. Read the top paragraph on page 4. I will do that. Four suburban teenagers encounter the mystery that will shape their lives. They explore, and each time they touch, we players exchange cards. For them, a few days. For us, a few hours. We make up a story together. Our invented truths spring from the cards we hold, and they step into the unknown, pausing at every awkward touch, hopeful despite everything to come. You are in high school. You live with your parents. You don't have things figured out. You don't have a plan. The adult world is a big, stupid, scary place that you don't fit into. You don't obey their rules, and sometimes you don't even know why. The idea that you will change as you grow older is total foreign and kind of insulting. But you are curious and hopeful, and you have some good friends. Though these friendships are relatively new and contain nervous uncertainty. Your friends are the most valuable thing you have. Turn over the character sheets. Have everyone pick a character sheet by preference of which sex they want to play. There are two female and two male characters.
Yeah, I'll take a boy.
You want to play a boy? Let's see. This is a girl.
I can take a boy, too.
Okay, so we do cross-play everyone.
Yeah.
There's a boy. Your character is now a block of marble. To make them carve away everything that isn't your character. Now you will get a pencil. I had loads of them. There you go. There are two possible relationships that your character has to the character on your left. You get to choose. Scribble out the one that isn't true.
Best friend or neighbor.
Hey, sibling.
Can be good.
Did you pick one?
Yes, yep. And record it to crush.
There are 9 possible details that might be true about your character. Scribble out the 4 that aren't true. If you scribble out a trait that reads, I love my little brother, then it's up to you whether you even have a little brother or not. So, interpret it anyway.
So you should keep 5 traits.
You should keep 5.
That's very sweet. I have 2 that are mutually incompatible, so I just was able to pick one. I like water slides. I once broke my arm. These are mutually incompatible.
Pick 2 things that your character cares about and scribble out the other 3. Ignore the reference box at the bottom. Write any notes in the space there which you can continue to do while playing. Things you learn about them. Blah, blah, blah. I think we should name ourselves.
We should have names that we don't get mixed up.
Yes, unique names.
Yeah.
Sarah.
Let's see.
Fred.
Sebastian.
Maria, then. Popular. Once all the characters are complete, take turns introducing them to one another. As you learn their names, write them in the fields provided, fill in the relationships between the characters, read your entire sheet aloud, specifying if your character keeps anything secret. Right, I am Maria. I like playing the guitar. I like driving. I hate being told what to do. I wish I was taller, and I'm a pretty good dancer. I care about belonging and myself. On my left, I have Sebastian, who is a friend from class.
I'm Sebastian. I look cooler than all of my friends. And I'm ready to start having sex. I could just find someone. I once broke my arm. My parents prefer my sister to me. And secretly, I wish my grandfather didn't live with us. And my sibling is to my left.
Sarah, I like riding bicycles. I cut my own hair. My mom forgot my last birthday.
And yet I've convinced my parents like you better.
My uncle killed himself. And I like watching foreign movies. I care about knowledge and myself.
I care about recognition and belonging.
And nothing secret?
No.
Who is Fred to you?
And Fred is my best friend.
Yeah, I am Fred. I wish I could grow a beard. I might flunk school this year.
You might flunk school, okay.
Yeah. It's secret, but I once went down on someone.
You once went out?
Down on someone.
Okay.
I like watching people. And once I jumped off a roof. I care about recognition and myself. And I got an unrequited crush on Maria.
We're going to number off around the table, then pass this book around to learn some basic techniques. I'll be number one.
Two.
Three.
Four.
So we'll be passing this stack of papers rather than the book, since I didn't buy it as a book. What we are about to do requires courage and trust. So thank you for coming this far.
We'll read the sections that aren't in italics allowed. If the book wants us to do something rather than say something, those directions will be in italics.
When we play, we will give the current speaker our attention and refrain from thinking about what we'll say next.
We will allow ourselves to hold everyone's attention, despite nervousness and despite self-criticism.
We will think of the characters as real people and allow them dignity.
Sometimes we'll speak aloud exactly what our characters say. Other times we'll describe what they say in general terms, like, she talks about the plot of the movie and how boring it was.
Sometimes I'll describe our characters' physical reactions, like if you were to say that your character asked mine what he was waiting for, I could say, he tilts his head back and sneers.
Sometimes we will describe our character doing things. That rounds up the three things we describe about our character. What they say, how they react, and what they do.
We will build things that the other players describe. We will build on things that the other players describe, reincorporating what they've already established in the story.
We'll also create fiction freely, adding new things that we imagine.
We players each have unique brains. The first most obvious thing that we think of in any situation will be unexpected and clever seeming to everyone else at the table.
Sometimes we will abandon the direction that we want the story to go. We will have to make decisions based on where the story is now, not where we want it to be.
Okay, one more time around, and then we'll take a short break. Let's hear about a tool called the Veil.
If a player feels uncomfortable with something that gets added to the story, they can use the Veil to exile the uncomfortable idea from the fiction. The person who made it up makes up something new.
Don't explain why. For example, just say, oh, I'm going to veil the name Catherine. Let us use a different name. What is it? You can also make suggestions.
When the player veils something that you put into the story, that doesn't make you a jerk. We have unique brains and we don't know what someone else don't want to talk about.
We're going to tell a very powerful story together. If there's anything you need to do first, do it now. So, do we need a break?
Might as well.
It was a bit of a bother to pass the stack of papers around the table. Everyone had to look at it and say, oh, wait, what did the last person read to find where they were going?
But I think that might be exactly what they wanted. Reading it went slowly. We paused at every important point, and everyone had to keep. No one could drift off and think about anything else during.
Since you passed it around, everybody are actively participating in it, and that's upside.
The thinking cards are based around asking questions of one another to prevent us from sprouting off monologues. We'll trade them during play. When something is not covered by one of the thinking cards, anyone can make it up and we'll share it. That's what's meant by create fiction freely. These are thinking cards. I'll distribute them at random. Each player should read aloud the one they start with. Alright. I'll be the narrator. Whenever you want to, touch this card and speak your character's thoughts aloud as a voiceover. Don't speak as if looking back on this time. Speak in opinions, inventing new details that your character notices about their friends and those friends' relationships.
Are we reading only what's below the occupation?
Yeah.
Okay. The teacher.
Maybe I could say this. The top part involves saying which cards the other players are having. So mine, it says, create fiction freely except ask questions about our photography teacher's story, about how the machine works, about the photographs of the city. I suppose you have one of those each.
Yeah, I have asked questions about in my character's voice. Create fiction freely except ask questions in your character's voice or to clarify what they perceive about what photographs of the city show, what it must be like there, and what price we could get there. And about how the machine works, how to operate it, and what it does. My card says, the teacher. When someone asks about a photography teacher, you make up the truth and answer them. Your character can explain, or you can describe what they perceive.
Yeah, so just create fiction freely, except ask question in your character's voice, or to clarify that perspective. About our photography teacher story, the letter he's received and why he's done all that he's done, about the photograph of the city shows the most likely there and what price you should get there. The machine. When someone asks about the machine, you make up the truth and answer them. Your character can explain or you can describe what they perceive.
The photographs. When someone asks about the photographs or about the city itself, you make up the truth and answer them. Your character can explain or you can describe what they perceive.
Yeah. So my understanding is that we can make up anything we want except for these four categories. You're the only one that can talk about the machine. You're the only one who can talk about photographs. I'm the only one that can talk about the teacher. And you were...
The narrator.
The narrator.
Internal monologue, somehow. But it should not be as if looking back on this time, so it should be...
You can say now.
It's not my thoughts at the moment.
Freddy walks slowly into the room and sees.
I wonder what Fred is doing, really. He looks so strange. What's that in his pocket? I wonder.
Okay.
So I touch it. When I speak, my thoughts at that very moment.
Okay.
We're now going to begin teaching. Whoever got the narrator card will read to us about what we've been up to tonight. My friends and I were wandering the neighborhood, walking around, wanting to get away from the loud television arguments, being rerun by my parents. The same show was playing at all of my friends' houses, too. It's funny. Sometimes people around here leave their door unlocked, and you can just quietly swing it open. Watch the backs of their heads over the tops of their chairs. Usually, they're just sitting there, TV on. Sometimes you can jump the back fence, go right into the kitchen, root through the fridge, once we even got a couple of beers to share. Whoever has the teacher card will now tell us about pacing and ending.
All right, we need to cross Saturday afternoon off on the timer. Now it's Saturday night. Any of us can advance the timer like this when we feel that time has passed. We don't have to cross them all off, or maybe the last part of the weekend won't be relevant. When the timer advances, the player with the narrator card places the characters somewhere within the house, a pair together, and the other ones each by themselves. If Monday morning arrives, our characters lose access to the mysteries, and the story ends automatically. If all four characters go to a different place than this house, the story ends automatically. An unfortunate ending will come when one player is exhausted and wishes to leave before the others. We'll check in with one another to avoid this. If one of us starts fading, best to play with focus on becoming satisfied quickly. A proper ending for the story will arrive naturally when our evening is over, or when we are satisfied. Whoever has the machine card will now tell us about our feelings and fortunes. And now it's the time for the person with the machine card.
Our emotions are beyond our control, and they are not gentle riders. And we have no idea of the weird fortunes that fate has in store for us. The feeling cards randomly them out. And the part that says fortune is private, and everybody reads the other part out loud, frustrated. Underneath anything else, they're really feeling why this is true, and how they deal with these feelings is up to you.
My character feels confused. Done the same thing.
Yeah.
Desire.
I feel lonely.
Look at your character sheet. If you scribble out the top relationship to the player on your left, scribe out the top fortune. If you scribble out the bottom relationship, scribble out the bottom fortune. We'll play with the remaining four fortunes. Us kids can't see the future, but if we knew what could we learned about who we are, about what we must be willing to do, since this faith will come true. Think about it yourself for a moment.
Okay.
Just before we put our fiction away, we'll explain our fortunes in turn. We'll each give our treasure a brief epilogue inspired by the fortune on the card. We'll end it with we can set the epilogue later if they're alive, but we'll focus on the effort of the happened during our story together. Whoever has the photographs card will tell us about touch.
I can't read this too much to memorize. I got the next step.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you did valiantly until now.
Yeah, as long as I can memorize it, it's fine.
So I'll read the photograph card. Mm-hmm. We're all crushingly aware of our own bodies and the space they occupy. We're hyper-aware of one another, shifting weight between feet, eyes casting out to make contact. When we touch, any touch at all, light brush or backslap or shove or caress, all of our attention is there in the give or receipt of it. In the nerve endings, electric just below the surface. When we touch, a chemical reaction. When we touch, an exchange of energy. And we exchange cards. Always one for one. Always the same for the same. thinking for thinking, feeling for feeling. After the touch has been described, we watch the response of the character who received it. Let's say that my character touches yours. If you act cold, perhaps looking away, or instead if you stand up to it, like defiantly getting in my face, then I get to decide which cards to exchange. But if you act sweet, perhaps showing a shy smile, if you give in to it, perhaps apologizing unnecessarily or starting to cry, then you choose which cards. It happens whenever we touch, even if we didn't mean to. After cards are exchanged, the initiating player and responding player work together to describe the outcome. We're done teaching. Narrator, read us this story to set us into our starting moment. Tell us more about tonight. And since I'm the narrator, I'll continue. Tonight, wandering this neighborhood sprawl, peeking into houses, one was different. As soon as I opened the door, I could smell the smoke. A light haze stood frozen, having found its level, headed nowhere. The smoke was cold. Electric lights shone through it. That feeling of wrongness grabbed me. We crept in, sneakers on the plush, wanting to discover without being discovered, and there. Slouched, slung back into the cradle of an easy chair, neck in drunken sleep, arms slack off the armrest, glass fallen, and soaked last few drops into the thirsty beige fibers that was our photography teacher. His feet had comfortable shoes. Next to them, a small garbage bin, half full of ash, stood still. No fireplace, but a few pieces of kindling in or against the can, a soot-licked wooden chair, and an old pallet that never caught on. The naked covers of notebooks were there, torn clean of pages. There was no sound. Question marks visible in our eyebrows. We slipped through the room, splitting into the house, weird smiles, shaking heads until the basement. He was just an old fool until the basement. No need to look at the certificates or award or paper clippings on the walls until the bottom of those wooden stairs. The concrete floor was a maze of cables and cords, homemade boxes plugged into cylinders lit by unlabeled panels. There was a clawfoot bathtub full of water with a coil of pipes submerged. Everything was pointed, routed, connected to a large behemoth that I initially mistook for a coal furnace. But it was not a furnace. It was a machine, snub-nosed and half-ancient. Door in the front, we could crawl into its belly, squat-welded together, humming so faintly. Is it on? Maybe that's just the power singing in the cords. None of us knew what to say. And then we spotted the photographs. How could we not have seen them? They were so beautiful. Street scenes and portraits of buildings, 11 by 14, 8 by 10, stairway angles, and a broad cityscape that stretched 4 feet along the wall. All silver and white, shadows providing for contrast in the stunning monochromes. The architecture was incredible. What was it made of? Stone? Metal? We stared, drinking in the details, so unfamiliar. The skies a uniform brilliant, the streets flagged in tile. Wait, where on earth were these photographs taken? Eyes made contact. We looked into each other. It sunk in. Nowhere. And we could all feel it. We wanted to go there. Eyes blinking, still in the basement, flickering LEDs. More questions than answers. We fanned into the house like flames, uncaring in our boldness, nothing anywhere but the living room, and we reconvened there, high on curiosity. Scraps of burnt machine sketches lined the garbage bin. A letter sits received and unopened on the table near the door. Those clippings on the wall, the glass on the carpet, too quiet, our ears becoming aware of the lack of all drunken breathing, all eyes on our host. He maintains the same position exactly, hand hanging, pale, still. We recognize an overlooked truth. In the silence, no sirens, nobody else knows. We stand around the living room in a light shock, aware that the blame will fall to us if we breathe a word, that the questions of this house will haunt us if we leave now, because this is the kind of thing that never makes the news. Saturday night, nobody expects him until Monday. There might be answers here, answers to the machine, the photographs, his decisions, even answers to the suffocating weight of suburbia. We stand in quiet thought, and then someone speaks and breaks the silence. And now we put down the book and begin playing. I have a reference here of the rules, like a short sum-up-up-ning. A short summary. And I guess I'll read that as well. Each player always has one thinking card and one feeling card. The thinking card tell you which topics to ask questions about instead of creating fiction freely, and which questions to answer when you co-players ask. They are a way of interlacing the narrative. The feeling cards make your characters more fluid and push you toward a realistic portrayal. The information you select on the character sheets make your characters more concrete. The timer is a pacing tool. Cross off listed time after it has happened in the fiction, and the player with the narrator card will place everyone within the house paired together and the others one each by themselves. When a character touches another character, the two players exchange one of their cards, either thinking for thinking or feeling for feeling. The in-fiction response dictates which player chooses the card type. Let's say that my character touches yours. And then it's the same explanation here. If you act cold, perhaps looking away, or instead of just stand up to it, like defiantly getting in my face, then I get to decide which cards to exchange. But if you act sweet, perhaps showing a shy smile, if you give in to it, perhaps apologizing unnecessarily or starting to cry, then you choose which cards. The cards exchange is a way for different players to independently imagine on the same topics. The story ends when the players are satisfied, or the available time has ended, or when the timer runs out, or when all four characters have left the house. After the story is over, each player provides an epilogue for their character as inspired by the fortune on the feeling card they ended with.
I'm not clear on these thinking cards because of the way they're phrased with the create friction freely except. Ask questions in your character's voice or to clarify what they perceive. Does that mean I absolutely have to limit my questions to my character's voice, or does that mean I should never ask questions in my character's voice?
Can I see it?
I think you should never, at least until you change cards. Mm-hmm.
Well, if you create fiction freely, you can do anything, basically. But if you can't think of anything to do freely, then you can do these other things.
Okay, so those are things I should do, as opposed to things I should avoid.
Yes.
The word accept throws you a little there. It's oddly written.
Yes, I think it's supposed to do, and please do these things as well.
Okay, got it.
Because otherwise we will be avoiding all the core features of the game.
Yeah. Mm. And are these two also an implied ask questions? Because it starts with about. So are all three of them ask questions?
Yes.
Okay.
So
if you ever contact the author, you can give feedback on that. The English speaker had issues with that.
The foreigners found no problems, but the English speaker thought it was horrible.
But I think you're set in the mindset that you do guess from context a lot more when you're in a foreign language.
Yes, we are so accustomed to not understanding, so we fill in the blanks instead of reading it literally.
Mm-hmm. Just make something up. It works.
Yeah. And this reading thing that we stumbled into, you like, oh, I give up. Hand it to me. And this is not the first time this has happened. We played Monsegur, the Danish game about persecuted Cathars. And there was a guy with severe dyslexia at the table. And he was much worse than you. And he made a valiant stand, trying his very best, because I had told him, well, the game works this way, so now you read this section. And he struggled and struggled and struggled. And, well, he got his time. And when he was done, he, like, I never want to do that again. And I was, that's fine. I'm very sorry. I should have asked first if you were uncomfortable reading to us. I would gladly have read that. I happily
volunteer to read aloud for anybody who wishes to be read aloud for.
maybe I should have done this time as well, especially since I know that you have a touch of dyslexia.
Yeah, yeah. But I knew you were there.
Yeah. I don't have many skill points in reading out loud.
I took your skill points in reading out loud.
And it's a completely different thing than reading to yourself.
Very. But even in first and second grade, when we had to work our way around the room, taking turns reading stories aloud, yeah. I would always eagerly wait for my turn so that somebody could do it right without all that stumbling and hesitation that the other kids did.
Yeah. Well, of course, we could have handed you everything, but that would be cheating somehow. Yeah. I feel that way. You like reading, but that would be cheating.
It's better to everyone to read aloud because you actually pay more attention when you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's limits to...
Yeah.
Yeah.
If...
Everybody managed pretty well until it became really long sections.
Yeah, those short sections, I didn't see a problem when there was just one or two sentences, but this was, and then you read these four pages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't give the dyslexic the narrator role.
No.
It's not nice.
But maybe it should say so in the in the game, in the first step, like... Mm-hmm. Figure out is someone a dyslexic, then trades cards in this way because this is the best the best order, because I don't think it's a problem to playing the game, just doing the prep.
I want a cup of tea.
Yes, let's have
before
a second break
too.
Yeah, before we even starting,
before we decide who breaks our silence. I didn't catch, when we're trading cards, is it only the thinking and feeling, or do you also trade who you are?
Mm-hmm. No, the character remains on the table, and you, depending on how you react to the touch, you get to choose with other choosers if he wants to trade.
Thinking or
feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, Act One, Scene One. The teacher's house.
Can we just leave him like that? Shouldn't anyone check if he got a pulse or something?
I'm not going to touch him.
Sarah, you know CPR, right?
But if I leave my fingerprints on him, I take a cloth in my pocket and touch him with it. He doesn't feel cold.
Mr. Smith!
I shake him.
Oh god, I hope he doesn't, like, wake up now. That would be horrible. Better stay there. Would be much safer.
I think he's dead.
Could be. I hold my hand over his mouth. Like, I don't feel anything.
Okay. But reach out, still using my sleeve to cover my hands. And his eyes is already closed, but it sort of feels like the right thing to do, to try to close his eyes anyway.
What do you think all those pictures were downstairs?
Maybe he works for some computer company, and the thing down there is like some sort of computer.
Or
Maybe not.
Or if that thingy down there, the machine, it's a machine, it's alive, maybe. Half alive. It's might be the dimension travel thingy.
Yeah, but it's not alive.
Or time traveling. I've never seen anything like that anywhere in the world where I have been. I've been around, at least a little bit around this country.
Never been anywhere I haven't been. I was there first because I'm older.
Yeah, whatever. I think it's a dimension portal. It is a dimension portal.
I just want to know about that city. I mean, it was fascinating. It's anything not like home at all. I think we should go look at it again and wonder where it is. I don't suppose he can tell us now.
No.
But why didn't he ever show us those in class? I mean, those are some photos.
They really were some photos. The city in white and silver, as well as the people. Tall, blonde, fair, strangely tall. Like when you're viewing a movie, but you get the screen dimensions wrong and everyone gets a little bit stretched. But still not quite right. Yeah.
Should go into the machine then.
Oh god, I hope they're not going to play with that thing. It looks dangerous, like a hungry animal. We better leave this place, it's unsafe. Someone will catch us here. I know it. And then it will blame me, of course, because I was first in. Oh, what should I do?
I'd like to know what happens down there.
Yeah. He couldn't just died, right? People don't just sit down and die.
Grandma did.
But she got to be real old.
Yeah, an uncle killed himself. They say so anyway.
Yeah, maybe whatever he'd been drinking was poison. Maybe he got poisoned by someone.
These things are burned here.
On my card here, it's and guard, ask about the photography teacher's story. Who's playing? Who's supposed to answer such questions? Okay. So you are the authority on on that for now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I'm thirsty. And I head off over to the kitchen, scrounging through his fridge to see if there's anything to drink. All this smoke is parching my throat.
And I rush after you. And I grab his shoulder.
Okay.
It can be poison.
Alright. So I turn around in a friendly fashion, I suppose. So I give in to the touch. So I get to choose what we trade.
Yeah.
And of course you should have the desire card. So I'll get the confused one.
Yeah. And when you turn around... I realized you're standing quite close to me. So I blush and then I turn and start scrambling through the fridge myself. But he got this Coke bottle isn't open. It can't be any poison in this.
Strange. Yeah. The photographs. Are they taken? Have he developed them himself?
I don't know. We haven't looked in all the rooms yet. Of course, he's got the dark room at school, too. But maybe he has one here at home.
Yeah, there might be other
photos.
Let's check out the rest of the place.
Hey, don't leave me.
No, of course I want to. The police might show up. We got to stick together. Get. I'm accepting.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And we can switch thinking cards.
Okay. So you'll wait for me and we walk together to explore instead of just leaving me there in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah. With a big gapping hole down to the basement. Smoke coming up. I'll just check what I'm the authority of. Yeah, so we'll go looking for wherever you went then. since we got distracted in the kitchen.
Looking for the dark room. More pictures, maybe.
Mm-hmm. It seems like people are looking at the pictures. Do you want to be that authority? Or
okay, okay, I'll take authority of the dark room as well, then.
Of the pictures.
There may not be a dark room. He's got the perfectly good one at school.
Yes. No, of course. You find a dark room in the bathroom, the only room that's easy enough to seal off. And it's a bit spooky in there, because when you turn on the lights, it's all red. There's no option to get ordinary light. It looks like a haunted house in there. Strange apparatus and liquids in bottles. And so the bathroom functionality plays second fiddle to being a dark room.
And unlike many single teachers, the bathroom is actually clean because he uses this in a dark room. Even the bathtub's clean.
Yeah. What's that? Point to developed photographs hanging on with clothespins on a wire along one of the walls. Doesn't look like the same like the others. I know that girl. Who is she? What's she doing?
I look over your shoulder. Who is it? What is she doing?
Oh, damn it, it's mine as well. Why should I ask about... Oh, I have the photographs, not his story.
No,
it's the difference. Well, I think they tell us something about the photographing teacher rather than his photos. These are not the same. This isn't the art, it's something else.
Mm-hmm.
Like normal.
Yes, these are ordinary. There might even be color plates.
Okay.
Can you do a darkroom color at home? Yeah.
You can, but you can't use light to see anything when you do it.
Yes, so I'd like to forward that question to whoever's answering questions about the teacher.
It actually, now that we look at it closer, it's a standard series of modeling shots, like for high fashion models. But you do recognize her. She's one of the seniors who's going to be graduating this year. And she doesn't look like that in school.
So photoshopped.
I'll look closely and think, I'd like to find out. I don't think I ever noticed her with that high before. And I nudge you with my elbow. What do you think? She's much hotter than she dresses at school.
Yeah. So I react you, so you get to choose that.
I think it's your turn to feel lonely.
You get to feel confused. Don't say such things. Well, I distance myself. Step out into the hallway again.
Yeah. I could look nice like that too, if I wanted to.
Now I'm really confused.
But it's all Photoshop. It's not realistic.
How do you Photoshop when it's still this early in development? That's not on the computer.
But he made Photoshopped it in the computer and then printed it out.
But if you print it, you don't need to develop it.
Yeah, but he's a photography teacher.
He do all strange stuff, maybe, yeah. Yeah.
What do you know about photography?
You have a thingy like this, and you click, 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 click.
Yeah, and then you put it on a computer, and then you Photoshop it, and then you develop it.
I don't think you have any knowledge about photo yourself.
Yeah, I do.
Hey, are you going to stand in there all night?
Yeah. No.
Well, I proceed into the... No, not the bedroom. The guest room, then. Yeah.
Guest room. Tightly cleaned.
A made bed and table, a couple of cupboards, but not much more, I guess.
Yeah, some photos, but it seemed to be of family members.
The art photo on the wall is the same sort we normally see in class. It's just classic.
Yeah.
Nice photography. Good composition, clean lines.
Nothing of the stuff that is in the basement.
He's been hiding it. It's secret. Maybe it was working for someone, like NASA.
I don't know, but I think I want to go back down and look at those pictures again.
Yeah. Maria, Are you coming?
It's scary down there. I don't want to leave you alone up here either.
Yeah, come with us.
I could stay here with you.
Would you?
Yeah.
Good, we'll wait up here. You go ahead.
Okay. Come on, sis.
Yeah, yeah.
And, of course, I'm going to make a move. And I sit down in bed and decide, it's a really nice bed. And during the uncomfortable silence, I get up.
I feel lonelier than ever.
I get up. Feeling sort of uncomfortable. That didn't work out quite right, so I start looking through his drawers. I just said it because it looks like it's an expensive bed. He got to be working for someone. And I start looking through drawers.
You think so?
Yeah.
I come up and look over your shoulder to see what you're up to. Keeping my distance, but still, of course, close.
And I brush against you.
I don't move away.
Then you're accepting.
Yes, I'm accepting. I didn't like the photographs. Give me back my monologues.
And you're in the basement.
Yes.
Looking more closely at the photos.
Yeah, but I've never seen any pictures of buildings looking like that. Have you?
No. Well, what must it be like there? It looks so totally different.
The light in the pictures got this sort of... sunlight is sort of yellow. But in the pictures on the walls, it's almost a pale blue. And shadows look, because of the blue light, almost brown. It's strange.
Yeah.
I wonder what it would take to go there. I wonder where it is.
I wonder if you get that blue light in black and white photo.
It isn't
black and white photo, of course.
The way I understood it, the buildings was white and silver. It wasn't stated that this was black and white photography.
There was something about monochromes, but
yeah.
it could be that the photographs themselves are monochrome, or that the scene actually was monochrome. It's like this 19 glass and steel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
But
doesn't really matter.
I put it into the fiction and let
it's
someone...
true.
Yes. Yeah,
it's true. I like it.
And while you're moving around there in basements, you spot something in one picture. Something that looks somewhat like this machine. And it's standing on something like that looks like a big plaza.
Yeah. Portal. It's a portal to that place.
Do you think so?
Yes, I think so.
I wonder how it works.
I don't know if it works. Yeah. I think it's automatically or similar. I think it just, all these things around it, it's just to make it work. It just works.
I look over at the old battered couch in the corner and pick up a pillow and put one in and shut the door.
It starts humming a little bit more. And then it settles down again.
After a few minutes, I open the door back up.
There's no pillow there.
We've got to go get the others. Hey, guys!
What?
I think we found a teleporter.
Like in Star Trek?
Yeah, come here and look. And I grab a pillow off the bed. Come on!
And I look sort of relieved getting out of there.
Did you guys come down?
Yeah, I don't want to be left alone, so yeah. I follow you down.
We get down there and I repeat the performance, only this time with a bed pillow.
There you go.
Look, it's gone.
And the other tent pillow's there.
Hey, the first one came back. Oh, cool, it's two ways. Do you think there's room for all of us in there?
And who'll get us back?
Yeah.
You look at that picture over there. It's the same kind of device. In the other setting.
Can you operate it from inside that?
We just open and close the door.
Yeah, but can you trigger it when you're inside there?
Well, there's a handle on the inside, isn't there?
Yeah.
It looks scary. Are you sure? Doesn't that pillow feel a bit hot? Looks to me like it's smoldering. We could be cooked by that machine.
I picked up the pillow.
It's not what you really notice.
Feels fine to me. Then I hit you with the pillow. See?
Is that the touch?
You tell me.
Yeah.
Well, of course it's a touch. Yeah. We're teenagers.
Yeah.
The hot pillow fight. Yeah.
Hot pillow.
We've been hitting each other with pillows for just friend from class. Yeah.
Yeah, friend from class.
Just friend from class. That one's the best friend.
And I'm feeling a bit lonely. Great. I grab it as you strike me. Stop that, and I try to pull it from you. Thereby touching your hand, so I reject the playful pillow fight.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to choose. I have a lonely feeling and a narrator voice.
I can be the teacher for a while. So I wonder how it works, because the pillow definitely went somewhere and then came back when we put in another one.
Yeah, it looks really, really old.
Is it plugged in somewhere?
Mm-hmm.
Plugged in? Like the internet?
Yeah, or just a power cord.
Everything here is connected to it in one way or another.
But it's connected. I begin to move around the room looking for a power cord or something like that.
You know, Rudy, you're nervous. Does he have a cat? We could put a cat through first and see how it works.
A cat?
Well, or a dog. But if there were a dog, wouldn't it have been barking by now?
Yeah, but wouldn't that be animal testing?
You're so cruel.
You didn't want to test it yourself. We could just get in and see what happens.
You get in. I'm staying here.
Yeah, you get in.
Yeah, well, sure. I'm man enough. Are you?
Yeah, but I'm not stupid, so you can go first.
Well, I'm not stupid. But I'm not chicken either.
Yeah, go in there.
I duck into the door, go inside. How low is the space?
It's not high.
Is it a sitting room? Or?
Yeah, you can sit comfortable. So,
I can't really sit on the pillow.
Yeah, you can't really stand comfortably, but you can sit comfortably.
I go sit on the pillow and say, okay, who's coming with me?
Stupid son of a bastard, you can't get in there.
Hmm?
It's stupid. You can't get in there. We got to test it on something else first.
You just told me we shouldn't do testing on something else. The pillow came back and it's fine. Kind of comfortable, actually.
Yeah? But how do you know it's not, filled with murder, killer viruses?
Well, I feel fine.
Yeah?
Oh, come on.
Are you sure you're feeling fine?
Come on, I dare you. Come in, join me.
I step inside, and when I do, my boot sort of kicks into your boot a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not really, I'm gonna fight, but still a little bit angry and dominant. How do you react?
I actually smile and say, I knew you would.
Okay, you accept.
Alright. I'm not confused anymore.
Then you feel desire.
Desire.
Why am I confused and why do you feel desire?
Well, I'm still filled with longing for this city, so that could be desire. And Maria hasn't responded to our advances, so... anyone shut the door?
No, Sarah is still outside.
Mm-hmm.
Maria, are you coming?
Are you in the machine?
No, I'm standing at the door.
All right, so you're ready to step in?
Yes.
I'll wait here. I'll tell your parents you've gone to Malaysia or something. Good luck.
This is stupid, and I almost throw myself out the door, pushing you a bit when I do.
Okay, you're forcing yourself past me.
Yeah, and I'm not letting you in either.
You're not letting me in either.
No. And Yeah,
I want to go in.
Yeah, but how do you react?
I like...
You react the touch, I get the shoes. I don't want to be confused anymore.
That's a bad one.
You can be frustrated.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're not going in there.
Yeah, I am.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, and you with me.
No.
I'm not.
Try to get in there and I punch your face.
You wouldn't.
It's your best friend.
Of course I would. She's just being stupid.
You wouldn't hit that girl. Would you?
Only to save her.
Oh, God. I'll be upstairs.
Look, look, look. Picture. I close the door.
You're not inside, not outside.
There was some kind of a lever to push to start the door.
No.
Okay, what's happening?
When you close the door.
When you close the door, it happens.
Yeah, you're the machine.
Yes. It's the only thing that happens.
Do you guys open the door?
Of course we do.
Yeah, since I'm still lonely, I've been lingering in the stairs. So just looking back, not quite leaving you.
Sarah! Are you still there?
No.
Fuck. Crap. Yeah. I shut the door again.
And it's like...
Sarah!
You see a note on the floor.
Don't close the door. Keeping the door open with one foot. I sort of reach in and grab the note.
It says, "We are there. It's true." Sarah.
What are we going to do now?
I'm going upstairs. Come.
And I wrecked it, actually. No! We got to get him out.
You belong with him. Because I leave.
Frustrated. Yeah, it sounds good.
In frustration, I open and close the door time by after time again. And you don't need to explain every time. I just do it, hoping they will come back.
You need to leave the door closed.
Hmm? What did you say? I didn't hear you.
If you don't leave the door closed on this side, we can't get back.
Mm-hmm. And what are you doing?
There was an unopened letter upstairs, lying on a table by the door. So since I'm the teacher now, I get to decide truths about him. So I take this letter and read it.
Yes.
Because I want to know what it is. I was thinking that he has won some competition, something important. Are there any good competitions for photographers?
Maybe, yeah, photography competition of some sort.
And it's really high profile stuff.
The Nobel Prize in Photography.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Whatever it's called.
I don't know such things. So he won some competition and I just drop it on the floor and head back to the fridge. I want another Coke. They're so stupid. Why would they risk playing with that thing? Do you want to tell us anything about life in the city or...
It falls into the machine narrator, actually, wouldn't it?
Machine takes it there.
Is there a city?
You end up as in the picture.
Yeah.
And city?
A city in a big square.
So then it's the photographs then that...
We recognize
it's
the...
time to narrate.
Yeah.
Because it's about city.
Talk.
And after the humming, you arrive there. The air feels hot and dry. And the machine looks the same way it did inside. But the door's closed. Do you open?
Mm.
When you open it, the sound of the city strikes you, but it isn't the sound of a modern city. There's no cars, there's no engines running or anything. but just people. The people are 2.5-3 meters tall, but other than that, there's nothing strange about them. But when you step out, you kind of do look strange. And people look at you, but they don't seem all that surprised.
As we step out, I notice Sarah picking her notebook out of her pocket and fumbling around for a pencil, so I hand her mine.
I scribble down and toss it in and close the door.
Wow.
Cool.
Yeah.
And one of the tall people stopped and say something to you in a language you don't understand and don't recognize. It sounds a bit...
Does it sound otherworldly? It doesn't sound like it was made by a human speech apparatus. It's something like a synthesized computer voice, raspy, full of overtones. Okay?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Look up at him and say, "Oh, cool, say that again. That sounds so different."
They say something. Perhaps not exactly the same. But the tone is the same, and the language is the same.
I wonder if the teacher knows this language, or did he know?
Oh, all right.
Was the teacher gifted in languages?
I don't know if you will know this, but we, the players, know that, yes, indeed, he did understand what they said.
Hmm.
And I think that some of the students mocked him a bit because when he spoke, he had this strange voice. It didn't sound quite ordinary. He sounded a bit different when he spoke, so some students laughed at him behind his back because he sounded so strange when he spoke.
Even if the play instructions say that we should play along with whatever happens, I don't feel we have any direction on the play. Does anyone have an idea where to go with the story at all?
Yeah, a little bit, but not any steps in the future, just a now.
For now, yeah.
Because we can't really be culture gaming in this city that we don't know.
I agree, actually. It feels like we're not heading somewhere. We could just change it into an adventure and run amok in the city. But I don't think the game is about the city. It's about what you bring back with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was planning on going back again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just want some kind of souvenir.
Right. Do you want to play out that, or will you come back and tell us about this fine souvenir?
I'm content to just come back.
Yeah, come back and tell you about the souvenir.
Yeah, we spent... Time elapses. It's Saturday night that we come back. I think that's the next one.
Saturday darkness.
Okay, yeah.
So it's... No, Sunday.
A few hours have elapsed.
Yes. All right, so what did we do while waiting for the others? No, wait, we don't have to say that. That's the rule for this.
Yeah.
There's a rule for this. Yes. The timer is a pacing tool. Cross off a listed time after it has happened in the fiction. Yes, and that one that I just crossed out has happened now then. The player with the narrator card places everyone within the house in the next scene, sort of. Two characters are together in one location, and the other two are in separate locations.
Well, clearly the two that are together are those of us that are in the basement, because we've just come back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, since you are coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And where is Maria?
Maria's back in the kitchen again, only it's late enough that you're raiding the cupboard for snacks rather than more Coke. And...
Where is Fred?
Are you the one with the... which card have you got? You got Lonely?
Yeah.
You're in the den, looking at some of the books on the shelf.
Yeah. I'm upset. I've been crying. I'm sort of hiding in the den at the moment.
Right, I'm cooking with a vengeance. I'm frying some eggs in a frying pan, skillet.
Yeah, either.
And it's like cracking them with force down there and slamming the shells into the sink and pouring salt on there. acting out my frustration in this preparation of fried eggs and bacon. All this Coke I've been drinking has left me needing of salt, so I'm doing breakfast for supper. Awesome.
And the teacher's not going to need those eggs.
No, he's not going to need them.
Yeah, what did we bring back?
Brother. I think that's a thing for the machine to say. What did we find that was portable that we could bring back?
I don't think this fits in the space.
A bottle.
Huh?
A bottle of something.
Bottle.
Yeah. Wouldn't Sebastian be all about drinking booze from a far away dimension?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've got ourselves.
We have too much inhibitions. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need to lower them. Where is that desire card?
Yeah, we have a couple of bottles of things that it looks like a drink.
It looks kind of like a Coke bottle, but its proportions are very different. And it actually has two necks. And if you look at it, there's a dividing glass. And the liquid on one side is bluer, and the liquid on the other side is whiter.
When I heard the machine start humming in the basement, I call out, Maria, did you hear? I think they're back. And I rush down the stairs. And
I rush down as well, still holding
frying pan.
The frying pan. I don't want to leave it on the stove and cause a fire. I forget that the hot plate is still on, though, but I take the pan with me now.
Yeah, yeah. Hi.
You're back. Yeah, I hug you.
I embrace the hug.
And you got this change?
Yes, for the fun of it. You can be the machine.
You're the photographs.
It makes sense for you to have the photographs now, because you have a better idea of what's in them having been there.
You too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw that building, and I saw that building, and I saw that building. And did speak a strange language. Like the same melody that the teacher speaks in.
Yeah.
I think the teacher is from that place.
Yeah, but I don't remember him being that tall. How tall is our teacher?
He might be midget.
No.
It's a question.
No. Actually, nothing extraordinary, as we can remember. Just ordinary guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just ordinary height with everything.
Mm-hmm.
Sounded a bit weird, though. Mm-hmm. Well, I slammed the skillet in the floor. How dare you stay away so long? Don't you know how weird we were?
No!
Hey, mellow out! Have a drink! And I hand over the double Coke bottle.
Well, I'm frustrated. I slap it to the side. How dare you? Don't you ever do that again. And I shove you.
Hey, Maria, calm down. I guess I'm accepting.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, I'm accepting. I'm a bit confused what this means when we're... If we're doing positive things, like I caress you, I accept it.
Yeah.
But if I do something violent, should you accept that by escalating the situation, by responding with more violence, or should you accept it by turning the
soothing?
Yes.
Stroke those feathers.
I'm not entirely clear about which way to interpret.
I think accepting is responding with an active.
Yeah, because it says
active action. Yeah.
Yeah, sweetly accept. So I was sweet about it.
Yeah. All right. I have the teacher, and I'm frustrated.
And I have desire even more so now that I'm trying to embrace you. So I guess that means I give you the narrator because my desire levels have just peaked because, you know, you're much cuter than the girls there. In fact, I say that. You know, you're much cuter than the girls there.
Well, I calm down for now.
You were hitting on alien girls.
Well,
he hits on everything. It has two legs and boobs.
Yeah, but the boobs are...
How would she know that? Are they closer than we're supposed to know? They speak awful friendly-like. Sebastian.
But I don't know. This alien boobs are just... They aren't in the right place somehow. I can't put my finger on it.
Gross.
I pick up the bottle, turn it towards the fluorescent lights in the ceiling. See, it has two colors. It's all strange.
Yeah, it's liquid.
Yeah.
I saw a couple drinking out of those. It seemed to be a ritual. You take a sip out of one and hand the bottle over, and the other one takes a sip out of the other, and then turns it and hands it back. Want to try it?
Hey, you went there. We should try it. I take the bottle.
Take it from me.
Yeah.
Because I was holding it.
No, then I don't.
Okay, then you leave it. Okay. I tried to force one of the caps open, but doesn't budge until I realized they twist the other way.
Mm-hmm.
They're French. doesn't smell too bad.
I take the bottle, and I don't give you a smug dick grin, but I'm feeling very smug and brave. I say, take a sip of it.
Right, do you want any of these?
Okay, I can take the Norway. You can be the machine. My God, oh my God, oh my God, it got to be a love potion.
And then you hand it
to you, back to you.
Yeah, the other one you said.
Mm-hmm. Right. The necks are cunningly twisted, so you can drink out of one and not worry about the other one dripping on you.
Yeah. Well, it goes nothing. Mountain Dew, like lemon. Nothing special.
Or is it?
photographs. Yeah, we're handing city control to the photographs then.
It's nothing in the drink. It's just a ritual.
So far at any rate, perhaps you need to drink both before it does anything.
But the ritual says, when you wash them, then the first one takes a sip, turns the other one, and then turns it halfway around, and the other one takes from the other side.
Alright, so we're halfway through
yeah.
the ritual.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's Fred's turn to drink, because
yes.
we're
mm-hmm.
back and forth. Okay.
Yeah. And I drink from the other fluid, and this time I start coughing really, really violently. Like I first just coughing, but then I go down on my knees, and I don't seem to be getting any air.
Oh
my God!
I thump you on the back.
I don't react, but you you get to change cars.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Narrator, lonely.
I could be a teacher.
It doesn't help. Sebastian's patting on your back. You're still coughing and...
Yeah, but after a few minutes, it's sort of passes. And I'm...
Minutes? Oh my God, I'm like doing everything to you. I try to induce... make you vomit to get it out of your system. My God.
Yeah, so you're sticking your tongues.
Your tongues, yes.
That was gross.
Oh my God, it's poisonous. We got to make him puke. And I, less gently than one could hope, force my hand down your throat to induce.
And I vomit, so I think I.
You accept, you accept my fingers.
Yeah. I feel more frustrated and lonely.
All right, now how much practice do you have? Can your throat handle this without puking?
But I do puke. Oh, fuck. I feel sick, but I do get up and I look a bit pale, and whatever I was throwing up, it was
sparkles.
It sparkles. Yeah.
All white and silver. A dirty blob on the floor until it fades away and just looks like ordinary disgusting puke.
Fascinating. Can I get the bottle?
I must have dropped it because I wasn't holding it when...
There is probably on the
floor.
Yeah,
you were holding it when you fell to your knees and started
coughing. Yeah, and it's laying on the side, but it hasn't...
It won't have spilled much because of that weird twisting of the necks.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's all this, all those cables on the floor and pipes and stuff, so maybe it's
mm-hmm.
fell into a crevice.
Okay.
Yes,
I,
I'm a little machine. It fell into a crevice, standing upright.
Yeah.
I take the bottle, and I find a cup that's been laying around, and I pour a little bit off one side, and I pour a little bit the other side, and then it starts to glow. little bit. I sniff it. It smells like Mountain Dew, actually.
Don't drink it.
But the interesting is, wonder if which order you mix it makes a difference.
Oh, I still feel sick. This whole thing is stupid. We should call the cops.
I put the lids on the bottle.
Well,
I stir the liquid and sniff my finger and taste it just a little.
Yeah, it sparkles a little bit on your tongue.
Oh, well, that tingles.
And you get a really good sensation of it.
Yeah.
Like refreshing, but whoo.
Oh, that tingles.
But you're not really supposed to swallow it.
Well, I made breakfast. If anyone's hungry, the frying pan still stands on the staircase.
Yeah, breakfast sounds like a great idea.
Who's the narrator? Are we having breakfast?
Yeah. What's that?
Do you want to advance in time while we're having breakfast?
Sure.
Or should we role-play eating breakfast in character? I can go fry some eggs and we can do it real live-like.
Okay. I'm perfectly happy to eat breakfast off-camera.
Yeah. So it's Sunday before dawn that we see the characters again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're the narrator, so you pick two that are together and two that are separate places.
Okay. This time, I'm actually helping Maria clean up in the kitchen. And you're laying down on the guest bed because you're still feeling a little under the weather. And
yeah.
Breakfast didn't help as much as you would have liked. And in fact, it's sitting a little heavy and you don't want to puke again. You're poking around in the garage. We all kind of stay out of the living room, which is occupied by our gregarious host.
Yes. I think I take good care not to actually look that way into the living room.
In fact, we probably pulled the curtain between the rooms shut. Mm. But since we found the kitchen spotless, we decided to return it to its spotless state.
Who has the control over the teacher?
I have.
You have, okay. Right, we're doing dishes then, mm-hmm. whatever that would be.
Yeah, I think you're washing, I'm rinsing and drying. And at one point I walk up behind you to get the next dish and I put my other arm around the other side, nuzzle up against you and say, you know, it's really sweet of you to cook for us. Kind of snuggle up against your back a little.
I think Maria is a rather short girl. Because I wish I was taller. Maybe everyone does that, but I think it's noticeable in her. So when I lean my head back, it falls under your throat then.
Mm-hmm.
Lean back towards your chest, and I just enjoy the moment.
Mm-hmm. And kind of just snuggle up against you a little.
So I'm lonely, and I have the machine.
I'm full of desire, and you know, wrapping my arms around you isn't helping that one bit, or perhaps it is. So I guess that's how you have the narrator. Yeah, stay in my arms, we'll cure that loneliness.
Yes, of course. I'll look into her mind then. Does he really like me? Am I just another plaything? Doesn't he prefer his sister? Where is she, anyway? Oh well, she's not here right now. One can dream, can't one? I wish we had more dishes. It's rather nice. I take my time and do a thorough work, make sure everything is really clean.
Yeah. And as long as I have positive feedback, keep snuggling in closer. If you don't notice the desire by now, you probably will soon. It is a teenage boy after all.
I'm fiddling around the garage.
Yes, I guess it's the photographer's teacher says what's there.
The photo guy has stacks of photos.
Stacks of photos, some tools, a car. But when you poke around a bit more, you can see things that seem out of place. Not really strange, but things like a little bowl of that silver white metal. It's just sitting there.
A ball, like in a fluid state, or a bit of scrap metal, or is the ball made of?
It's made of.
Okay.
So it's an empty ball.
Yeah, of that city material. But just small signs. Always, he seems strangely ordinary. There are some, you know, model planes, the kind you actually fly with. A 3 feet long balsa plane and things like that. Ordinary stuff.
Yeah, but different small trinkets from the other world.
Yeah.
Maybe we should bring the teacher back to the other world. Well, they might know him and want to care for him. Most people here, yeah, think he's strange. He's kind of strange.
Yeah, he was kind of strange. Perhaps all high school teachers are a bit strange. But he really was.
Strange for real. Maybe we should take him back to that world. He seems to like that world a lot. But chose to live here, anyway. He might be studying this world.
You look around in the garage, and yeah, somehow you sort of get the feeling that it might be right. But because, yeah, there are a bunch of photos there.
Yeah, and there's lots of different things just tried out, and then that's it.
Yeah, and there's photos on all sort of ordinary stuff, and they don't look like they all be taken for artistic reasons. There are things like photos of drinking water fortune, and the sort of things you have in offices. And on the back of the photo, there's a note written in a strange language. Thousands of photos of quite ordinary objects. And on the back side, there's short notes in some strange alphabet.
Strange. I kind of wander back in the house.
Do you come into the kitchen where we're working?
I went to the guest room. How are you?
Feeling kind of weird.
The teacher has all kind of weird stuff and ordinary stuff. A little bit too much ordinary stuff.
No shit, Sherlock.
Yeah, he has ball things made in that world or in that material laying around the garage.
Yeah.
And a lot of... I think he's being... Yes, watching us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we should send him back.
What? Send him back?
Yeah, I think they care for him more than we will ever do.
So we should just go there and...
Dump him there, yeah.
Yeah, what if they think we'll kill him?
I don't think they will.
I sit up and... My eyes are kind of bloodshot. I don't look well.
I sit down on the bed and help you to sit up.
I accept.
You see?
Yeah, I sort of...
Confused photographs also have.
Yes, you get to choose. You get to choose.
You have confused on the photograph. I can take the photographs. What are we really doing here?
Yeah, it's quite a good question. Should we be in the house to begin with?
We're with the dead guy and strange machine. Oh, strange photos.
What will happen if the police come? What will they do?
I don't know.
They will just put him in the morgue. And he probably don't have any relatives here, so he has to be cremated and nobody will ever know anything.
Yeah. Where's Sebastian and Maria?
Somewhere else.
I take the cover off the bed and wrap it around me. And I look like a cold little pine blanket when I come into the kitchen.
When they come into the kitchen, I jump back and look surprised and guilty and slightly flushed.
What the hell are you doing?
Washing dishes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we should take the teacher back to that world.
You want to touch him?
Not really, but I think he comes from the other world.
Right. You know, if we take him back, we can't get in trouble because nobody will know we... Well, we didn't kill him, but nobody will accuse us of killing him if he's not here.
Yeah, somebody might accuse us for visiting the teacher, but we have not done anything strange in the house. We have not destroyed anything.
But, you know, we hang out over at Mrs. Carlisle's house all the time. She holds parties and we come over all the time. There's nothing strange about visiting a teacher. Granted, Mrs. Carlisle's cooler, but, you know.
Yeah, this is a weird teacher. Yeah, it's, I think they and the others, other town, they might actually care what happens to him. They might actually have relatives there.
Yeah.
Or something.
But how are we going to get him downstairs?
You have four people. We should manage.
And it's downstairs. Yeah. He's already dead.
And we can use your blanket.
Yeah, and we could just push him down the stairs. He's already dead.
You're such a monster. You know that? Whatever. Yeah, the blanket's fine. Give it here. So I grab for the blanket.
And I... Yeah, you want the blanket. Fine. We'll push us in.
Right, so now he...
I'm reacting to your touch.
Yeah, you're reacting with anger, so I get to choose because you reject me.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I have the power cards here. You belong with them, asshole. And how? No, wait. Did you have the teacher? No.
Yeah.
No, you had the photographs. Okay.
Yeah. It's not unreasonable for you to be frustrated. We've just been snuggling for a while, and we've been interrupted.
Yeah. So I head into the living room in front of him. And I don't look at him. I look around him. And I spread the blanket in front of him. Then I head back there, stand behind him, start pushing at the easy chair. So he will fall over into the blanket. I don't want to touch him.
I don't want to touch either, so I go over and help.
Yeah.
I don't really care. Right now, I'm sick and miserable, and everything is stupid and dumb. So I grab him and I pull his dead body, into position at black. You don't have to be afraid to touch him. We're gonna dump him in another world.
Yeah.
They're not gonna get the fingerprints of him.
Oh, you don't care because we're not in that world anyway, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I start dragging on the blanket.
Yeah.
I take the corner closest to me. I think it's going to take four of us to move an adult.
Yeah.
Especially when he's a dead weight.
No problem with that. I guess there will be a whole lot of shoving and pushing. If anyone wants to trade cards with Maria, fine. I'm frustrated and I'm the narrator.
Kind of confused teacher.
I've got the machine and full of desire.
Would you like the narrator for this?
I never used the narrator.
No, I thought you might like that.
Maybe. I can speak my mind.
Yes, when you touch the card. That's a signal, so we know that you're not saying this out loud, but only thinking it.
Would you want to narrate us through this scene?
Quick thoughts.
Simple mind, quick thoughts, yeah. I don't know what he sees in you.
Yeah, this might be better than getting to explain everything to the grown-ups. Down the stairs.
Well, I think we actually carry the blanket. With four of us, it should be quite carryable.
Yeah.
No. Folded over so that we don't actually look at him. It was a big bed, that's true.
Yeah, it's probably not a big problem to just carry him.
Yeah.
But how do the body look? Is there something going on? Do we notice anything about him?
Yes. When we started carrying, he was like a package this size. But as we head down the stairs, and it sort of his feet stick out at one end of the blanket, and his head almost at the top of the other end. So either the blanket is shrinking or he is.
Growing.
Do you see that? Freaky.
Wonder what's made that happen.
I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I...
I think everybody should have the narrator.
Yeah, it's... actually, I think the narrator, lonely, and desire. Those are the top three cards in this game. Everything else is just noise. The narrator is an awesome card. I like that one.
Yeah.
We should dump him in there before he gets too big so he doesn't fit. Or he might be taking some things to alter his body so he can fit in here. Wonder if that's the problem. He has not been... He's not really dead. He just forgot to take his medicine, so to say. And he's just transforming.
He had burnt all his notes up there. It wasn't just a... He didn't just forget. He wanted something, and he did it. Maybe he wanted to forget something.
Yeah, he might want to.
It was no accident. It was deliberate. He wanted it. God knows why. Unless someone else did it to him.
Yeah, could be.
What Dogen? Okay, if you dump him in there, and they find him dead, and the machine is here, they can come in here. Right.
Long silver blonde hair spills out of the blanket, and our teacher was bald.
Yeah, I dropped the blanket, and I stray away from him, and I knock into Sebastian. It's back into you.
And I push back and say, what are you doing? We've got to get him in there. Carry your fair share of the weight.
Look.
Yeah, faster is better. Get back to work, Pip.
You wrecked it, I guess.
Negatively.
Yeah, you got...
Desire in the machine.
I want the machine. Look.
Are you going to help us, or are we going to be putting him in on our own?
Fine.
Open the door.
I opened the door.
Yeah, of course. I
hope it fits.
You girls
now
are smaller, so you're going to have to go in first to pull.
Yeah, of course. Maria is absolutely the smallest person here. Oh.
It's
damn it.
Isn't that dangerous?
We won't close the door till you come out, I promise.
I will kill you if you close that door when I'm in there.
We will not close
I
the door.
I will kill you. And
oh,
then
come
I
promise. I won't close the door. I kind of want to wash dishes with you again.
I step inside the machine and sort of...
I step inside too.
Who has the machine?
Yes! Yeah. And as you step into the machine, you fall. You fall on your face, and when you try to get up, your hands stuck in some wires.
Your hands stuck, I didn't hear.
In some wires, somehow.
Okay.
And you're pulling, and the dead body's lying next to you.
All right, pushing me down and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Against the wall.
Oh my God, get him off me, get him off me!
I help kind of roll the body a little.
Yeah. It looks like your arm has sort of melted into the former wall and is stuck there.
Melted into the material of the machine. Oh, my.
Well, what did you do? It was just an empty room.
Just
when I was
pull!
In there.
Pull!
I grab onto you and I pull.
Yes.
This is strange. It felt really solid.
Yeah, it was really solid when we were in there.
Get up. And I pull as hard as I can. And I'm quite a big guy. And you feel your arm pop off the...
Oh! Everyone hears it, I suppose.
Yeah, it's echoes unnaturally.
I think, it probably is. Travel there, and the problem is solved.
Well, inside the machine, it's an ear deafening shout. Then, as he pulls my shoulder socket open, oh my God, stop it! Stop!
Oh, I'm so sorry!
The arm points in an unnatural direction from my shoulder. Oh, God, what did you... And then I see that my hand has melded with the bottom of the machine. Oh, my God, you're a horrible person. You know that?
It's called a machine and we are teenagers. How can this not become body horror? But you're in the control of the machine.
Yeah.
But it was an empty room without wires when we were in it.
I'm in panic shock something, just screaming, crying, everything. You go play outside.
Try to squeeze my way in and...
Well, I push you aside, I go in and try and put your arm back where it belongs. And that time I broke my arm, the shoulder was dislocated too, so I've got a pretty good idea of how to put it back, because...
At least you know the need to have it put back.
So you get nudged roughly out of the way.
And I let you do it.
Okay.
I'm just making things worse. Yeah, the teacher or loneliness?
The door is closing itself. Yeah.
I think that I'll actually give up desire at this point. I'm feeling lonely because this person I've been wanting is now hurt. So it's just you and I and the teacher in there?
I think we're all in there.
We're all in there.
Because the game ends if we all leave the house.
Yes.
And I pushed you aside, so I don't think you're in. You're out.
Or me too, also, maybe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have discussed this game online, and there's a ruling that... The machine is inside the house, so
the other
actually
city is
everyone going in the machine
is okay.
It's not the end of the game unless we decide to...
Okay, so we can all be in there.
We can, like, end the game now and then they we're heard from again, like.
Mm-hmm.
But if we want to continue after all of us have gone in the machine, that's not against the rules.
Okay. Then as the room is vibrating, I get your shoulder back into place.
We can play all, or we can end it here. It's fine for my take.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It would be an okay ending. I'm with you. Either is fine. Either we were lost in time and space, or the game ended here, or we continue exploring.
I think it makes sense to actually go back to the house with the resolution.
Okay, then we continue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, I'm free of the machine, sort of. My hand looks all different. Future cyborg screws and nuts and bolts, and all silvery, shiny, sparkly metal. Something in the transit from here to there set me free, but made me part of the machine as it is now part of me.
Mm-hmm.
My fragrance becomes very... clear in this chamber. It smells of me and like me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't notice, but maybe you do.
I probably do.
I think it looks cool.
Everyone was in the machine.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
We helped each other to drag the body out of the machine, maybe. On the other end.
Is it still a body? I uncover it and look, and what do we see here? We've got the teacher is now tall. Is it still dead, or is he alive now?
Who has the teacher?
The teacher is no longer the teacher. He's one of these tall, silver-blonde beings. But he's still dead, if that's the right word. He's not moving. He's not... saying anything, he's just lying there, taking up most of the floor. We're standing on him and around him.
Yeah. I'm opening the door.
Yeah, who has the photographs?
I have photographs.
Anyway, I don't know if you have seen that my hand has turned. I have seen it, but I hide it inside. I have this knitted sweater thingy. So I hide it inside, but it could be I'm just protecting my shoulder from it being set right. So.
I kind of touch your shoulder again. Did we get everything back? Does it feel right?
It's fine. Just leave me. So I react you. So you get to choose. I'm frustrated, and I have the machine.
I think you should keep the machine since you're currently part of it, so you get to be lonely again.
Lonely again, yeah, that's excellent. I feel rather lonely.
And I'm frustrated because the kitchen cuddles didn't go anywhere near where I wanted them to go. Thanks.
Blame your stupid sister.
She would have said yes, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But you still have the photograph, so...
So we go back out, and as we come out, once again, somebody walking by stops to talk to us. But as we're pulling the blanket, we didn't actually cover the teacher up, so they immediately start speaking rapidly when they see the body and turn and hurry off and go and grab some other people, and suddenly there's a crowd of them around us.
We didn't do it. No. No. No.
Four of them take the corners of the blanket and lift the blanket up taut, and it's now a high... It's no longer a sagging blanket, but it's more of a stretcher of honor. And in fact, how is the blanket being that supportive? Because there's no sag where the body is. It's pulled flat. And they start burying the teacher away.
Yeah.
What are the remaining people's attitudes towards us? Mm-hmm.
Ignored?
One of them is firing what's probably questions at us in fairly rapid succession.
Would Fred understand anything?
Would
Fred understand anything? He's been drinking their soda and stuff.
Yeah. I have.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, I think some of it is actually making a little bit of sense to you.
Yeah.
In fact, you don't feel anywhere near as bad as you did before you came through. You're feeling
I'm
much
talking,
better.
Strange. Mixed up with the English, strange words come over my tongue. Like when someone just have a tiny grasp of a language and just throws in a few words every now and then. And what are they asking me?
You're the one who can understand.
They're just babbling and babbling. Yeah. Should we get to somewhere? They should have someone else that knows our language. If the teacher knew our language. Yeah. How did he learn it?
I think they're trying to figure out... I think they're trying to figure out what's happened. I don't really understand, but I just think they're asking.
They looked really reverent when they carried him off. Like, he was important or something.
And don't Fred look... bit taller.
You're a freak. You're turning into one of them.
What? No?
That wasn't strictly by the rules, but you're fine.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Wonder if I should take a drink myself. I might be able to speak them to them too.
Sure, I'll share a bottle with you.
I'm not.
I'm backing into the machine.
Wait.
A bit clumsily, because I'm hiding my injured arm in my sweater.
Marie, are you okay? And I follow you into the machine.
Did you see him? He's turning into one of them.
Yeah, but that seems to be normal here. And you had some of that drink.
Yeah, you don't see me changing. I'm I'm fine. He's the freak.
Hey, it's okay. I wrap my arm around you and pat your back on the side that isn't injured.
Yeah, and I'm full of desire. Wait.
Give me the machine for a second.
Yeah, it's yours.
As you protectively backs into the machine rustles and its arms stretch out. Wires from the sides comes forward. Almost embracing you, stretching out protectively around you.
Yes, because I am the machine, and the machine is I. Perfect.
No,
thank you. I'm going home, but you touched me. I have to respond to that somehow.
Yeah. Do you? Are you comforted by the?
No, I shudder away. I react you. I want to be left alone, as the machine clearly shows.
Would you rather be frustrated or tell us about the photographs?
You get to choose.
Yeah, because I reacted, so you you
desire
get to choose.
The machine.
No. Oh, if I refuse, okay. So.
I refused.
Yeah,
when
you touched.
Offered. No, you touched me because you tried to correct.
Yeah, I touched you. You refuse. Therefore, it's your choice. Oh wait, no, it's my choice.
Yeah, it's your
choice. My choice. All right.
I have the machine and desire.
If you're rejecting me, I probably stay frustrated, and therefore, logic says I now have the machine.
Well, I want to go home, but the machine won't budge since the door is still open and you're standing in the doorway.
Mm-hmm.
Then. And I can't crush you with it. You feel the door twitching on your on your back, trying to close.
Hey, should we all go back or?
Oh, wait! They need to talk to you. We need to see. And I rattle off something to one of the tall beings in a strange tongue.
Yeah, and she now and he now talks more or less fluent. The progress is noticeably. I need to try this bottle. I want to know.
So I walk away from the door and be having been rejected, and go stand by my sister and say, "Well, are we going to try that drink or no?"
And do you close the door?
Nobody holding the door up.
It's your machine.
Yes, my machine. I will take my desire and go away. Yeah, I'll head back. To the house.
Okay. So you and I share the bottle near as we can manage.
Yeah, I ask, which fluid are you supposed to begin with? Can you ask them?
And I ask them.
It's gender-linked, isn't it? Because you each take the opposite one first.
Yeah.
Yes, and...
And you probably
reacted badly. Of course.
You need to take them right away.
Yes. I suggest we skip a bit forward until you return.
Okay.
And I will, like, barf some narration to you with information.
Mm-hmm.
And when you come back, then we continue play.
Okay.
Well, of course, you must drink this as a union, and your union is not complete. That's why you're falling apart at the same time as you're changing, because I never drank the second potion, so you are bound, you are doomed unless you can, like, fulfill the transformation.
So I need to have...
You need to have me drink. You are doomed unless you do it.
Yeah. Are you doomed?
I don't think I'm doomed. I think I'm strange. I have melded with machine. I'm something else, but I'm not doomed.
You're not doomed, but you're never going to be okay.
I'm never going to be okay, but so we're heading into the fortunes here. But anyway, and they are glad to show to let you guys drink. The traveler is dead. They need a new traveler.
You do drink.
Yeah.
But
as we swap the bottle, we wind up touching. I touch your hand as we swap the bottle.
Yeah, you're my brother. I don't react your...
Oh, I knew it!
Right. And therefore, it's your choice. You're taking the machine or frustration?
I think I will take the machine. Yeah, we should head back.
Yeah.
You stand there for quite a while, actually.
Yeah.
Weeks pass. 2 weeks, you go there every day, but the machine won't budge until suddenly it's let you... We have almost given up hope. You have a little stubble on your chin. Just a little. Time has passed. No, not, you're too young. You have on your upper lip.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
And I'm falling apart. How?
You're getting... you don't change, really. The change is tearing you apart. They have changed. They are beautiful, tall, slender, fair-haired. And parts of you is changing, but the other part isn't. So that's what's tearing you apart. You have sores all over your body and...
The areas that don't match.
Exactly.
Inflamed and...
Yeah. And weeks pass until one day... the machine actually brings you back to Sunday morning. Time has passed differently in that
yes. world. He's letting us. Someone must have closed the door. We can.
Walk out. Open the door in the cellar.
I have just. Who is the narrator here?
I am.
Yeah, I find it hard that you can split you three guys into a new setting, or if you want to skip even further into the future.
Okay.
It's the two in one place.
Okay, just shortly after we come back, you've hurried straight to the bathroom because one of your symptoms is irritated bowels.
Yeah.
And you hurried really fast. We're still in the basement, and I'll let you actually say where you've been while you when we happen to come back.
All right. I have gone to the living room. I've broken into it a little by himself, but I've opened the liquor cabinet, and I found some Southern Comfort and Coke or something grotesque like that.
And we all know now that he's got to complete the ritual. And
yes.
It's you because you've started it.
Yes.
May I make a slight change?
You've got the right of the veil.
Yeah. I rushed up looking for her. I'm used in another room.
Okay.
Just looking for her.
Okay.
All right. I'm in the living room. You will come through the kitchen. So you were in the kitchen then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Put a veil on the bathroom. We don't want any more scenes there. That was creepy.
Yeah. you find her first.
Whom?
Those two, or
I'm fine. Whatever. I have no strong opinions.
Mm-hmm. You're probably watching a movie and drinking Southern Comfort and Coke.
Yes.
Or something.
Yes. Actually, I don't think much time has passed. Maybe 5 minutes or something in from my perspective. So
and therefore, you really need this drink.
Yes. So I still have my. And I can feel it on my breast, the stiff metal, when the hand is on there. But I don't dare to look at it. But it's making me kind of hot. anyway, so I have single-handedly then poured Southern Comfort. And I have turned on the telly. And when you enter, I'm just punching through the channels looking for... Something.
And they have changed.
But
Maria.
Have they changed back when you...
Yeah, I think we changed back as we walked up the stairs, same as he did.
Yeah.
So by the time we get to the top of the stairs, we look like ourselves. Maria, we've missed you so much. Are you okay?
When I heard that you found your... You can hear Stash as I come running into the living room.
I think you look less... horrible now that your shiny stuff is reverting back to human, but you still look horrible.
Yeah, the strange part isn't showing, but
it's the damage
is
still there.
You look more like you've got psoriasis than or something, or the mumps, or
I'm clutching the bottle to my breast, desperation. Maria, you got to drink this. You got to drink this.
You smell. What did you do over there?
You got to drink this. I'm putting, unscrewing the bottle and just pushing it towards you.
I fight back. No, I don't want that. It was horrible. So I shove you.
And
so you get to choose desire or photos.
Desire.
He has a lot of desire. Right now.
Yeah.
And I come up behind you, and put my arms around you and say, "No, Maria, you've got to understand. He's miserable and will be until he finishes that drink. We've done it. We can tell you it doesn't hurt at all as long as you do the whole thing. But it takes two people."
I will fight back. You will overpower me if you want to, but I will fight back all through.
Mm-hmm. I. Desperately grab onto your arm.
I'm behind her and holding her. So
grab onto the wrong arm and pull your hand out from its collar.
And it lives a life of its own, fingers bending in directions not limited by three dimensions.
Maria, I think you really need to drink this.
The transformation will not...
Drink this!
It will...
Please.
How?
Please drink this.
It explained, they explained it to us in the end that if you start the ritual, you need to complete it. Yeah. Otherwise, you will not be complete.
I love you. Drink this.
Get away from me, everyone. Well, you can still overpower me physically if you want, I will resist to that point.
Mm-hmm. Do you break the bottle?
No, we're three of us, I think it's plastic, something like that. So it should be fine.
Yeah, we're three of us, we can manage to overpower.
Yeah.
And in fact, two of us are stronger than we used to be.
Yeah.
We've got the leverage from the long arms, even though you can't see them.
Awesome. Bending physics.
Yeah.
You force the bluish liquid down my throat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I keep patting you while we do it. I'm trying to be soothing while we, you know, like the same way you give medicine to a cat. You try to comfort it while you fight.
Yeah. What do you got?
Hmm? Frustrated and narrator.
Narrator, of course.
I love you. We will always be together. Just drink.
Yeah, you get forced to swallow it.
Yes. No problem. Well, I think I react rather violently to this, just like you did.
Mm-hmm.
It still works, of course, but... No, who's the machine?
Mm-hmm. You're the machine.
I'm the machine.
Yeah, how does this work? And what happens to the metallic bits?
It's the metallic bit, like our long persons, we get the appearance of being normal when you get up here. The arm fades back to normal.
But I can still do awesome tricks of magic since I'm working in five dimensions here.
Yeah. The arm is still... You still have the metallic arm.
Yeah, it feels wrong, but it looks right.
Yeah.
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 And it feels right to anyone who's touching you.
But except that you can grab something that holds and does.
Yeah.
You can do interesting things that your partners will never understand.
Or really good things to other parts.
Fine.
Yeah, I keep patting you all through the transformation.
I want to skip to epilogue.
Epilogues. Yeah, I think it's a good time.
Yep.
Did you have a good one on hand?
Well, I've got the photographs, so I can say that we've been offered jobs as travelers, not just here, but there are other places that need.
Yeah. What does your fortune say?
Hmm?
Under your feeling card. On your feeling card.
That is your final end and doom. Of course, you can narrate stuff that happens until that point, but in the end, you will end up with your fortune.
Okay. You know, I think that... mine says I'll betray one of these friends for incredible riches, and in fact, forcing you to do that against your will, I think, is a betrayal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was for your own good, but it's still a betrayal.
Yeah.
And it will benefit you.
Yeah, and it benefits me, because we all four land really cush jobs that the vocational counselor at school would never have imagined to suggest.
David?
Yeah.
Do you want to do epilogues?
Yeah, fortunate. I will be lost, somehow surviving blank. It's a little bit strange and confusing. But it probably was because it's confused.
Yeah.
Do you get lost traveling?
Yeah.
Or you could be just lost. Your parents don't know what happened to you because you didn't actually go home to check in.
I'm lost to this, to the normal world. But I survive. And my the record of me is blank. I don't exist anymore because I'm just this lost.
The reason Mom forgot your birthday?
Yeah, my mom forgot my birthday. She don't really remember. So nobody really...
You just disappear from the memory of the world.
Yeah, but nobody really misses me.
You never existed, sort of.
Yeah. And I actually took on the post in this world. In fact, moving into the teacher's house... And a record of me still exists, but I'm the only one who remembers I ever had a sister. And I can still see you on holidays.
Awesome. We are sort of bound. What sort of do you...
I will be abandoned by that which I create.
And that I will find a place before it consumes me.
You will find what?
A place before it consumes
you. Find a place in society or whatever until it consumes you. I have an idea for the both of us.
Yeah,
actually. We hook up.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually live happily together for maybe 5 or 6 years doing this traveling business, get a child together and everything, but you cannot let go of traveling. It consumes you. It is your poison, and both you and our child are lost in traveling. I am abandoned somewhere, and you are never heard or seen from again, together with our child, which I can grieve then.
Yeah, sounds possible. Mm-hmm.
So this was Silver and White by Jackson Tigger.
As usual, once we had played, we remained at the table and discussed the game. And I have those discussions recorded as well, and I think that will be the next episode. And I will post that as soon as I had time to go through the material and do some editing. If you liked this episode or have any questions, please make a comment right here on the Nordnordost blog. It is always fun to hear from the listeners. Thanks for listening, and goodbye.